All right. We have plenty of room noise, so
good.
We can start right away.
We can ruminate.
Just try and say something funny during the show so I can put that at the beginning.
Sure.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Sneaky Dragon. My name is David Dedrick.
And I'm Ian Boothby, and we're here in New Canada.
New Canada.
Right.
It's actually the new trailer has been released for the next Star Wars, because Justin Skywalker has beaten Darth Harper.
Yeah, that's right. We now have the sexiest leader in the world.
The sexiest leader in the world?
I would say so. Unless you're, you know, unless you're into kind of that bearish Putin type. and, you know, maybe that's the way your sure. boat floats.
Yeah.
That's fine. But I would say of all the leaders mm-hmm. in all of the world,
yes,
top that world, sexiest.
Best hockey player.
Best hockey player. Best
Vladimir Putin, actually. Oh. Best hockey player.
Oh, that's too bad. How about best boxer, Vladimir Putin?
Yes, once again.
Vladimir Though Kim Jong-un says he's the best.
Yeah.
But he also says he's the sexiest.
3 years in a row now, I think, Vladimir Putin has scored a double hat trick plus one at each hockey tournament he's played at. Against players like Pavel Bure, Alexander Mogilny, like some of the greatest hockey players.
I don't know what you're referring to now. Please set the table for what you're saying here. Oh, I don't know if this is true or I don't know if this is false.
It's a team of Putin plays on his has a team.
Yeah.
And they play against a bunch of NHL or Moscow, like old Red Army old timers. And every year that he's done this tournament, he has scored 7 goals. As if the Red Sea has parted before him each time, and he's gone in and scored.
Now, is the rink on a slant, and it's like aimed towards the goal? And basically, if you like let the puck just go, it would just slide in there?
I think we could
like
say...
Like a broken air hockey table?
The entire country's at a slant that all heads towards Putin's goal.
Fair enough.
So I think whatever he wants... He gets, so, you know.
We were talking previously on the show about shaming, internet shaming. Mm. And, like, you're against it. Dave's against the shaming. I think that we got
like
so good at it that Canada turned it on itself and went just like, we shamed everyone into voting. I think that happened. I think there was
it that big a turnout, really?
Yeah, there was quite a bit. Well, for the advance
poll. I know for the advance poll there was a big turnout. But I feel like the advance poll is, like, the real enthusiast. Go out for that. That's like
and yet it was like 70.
That's like the voting hobbyists.
I believe it was more than 70% higher than it's like it was the last time.
It was well, the first time they did it was 1 million. This time it was around 3 million votes.
Oh well, there you go.
So it was a big. It was a big
even more than I said.
But I still feel like that was the enthusiasts, like the people who really wanted to get rid of Harper, all went out and voted at that time on.
Okay, so 3 million people voted. You're saying
no, more than that. But I mean for the advance polls.
All right, for the advance polls. How many people voted? Like 3 million. And how many people are in Canada that you would say are voting age? Like, how many people are eligible to vote, would you say, in Canada?
I don't know.
Throwing ideas at you that you don't have these numbers.
Yeah.
How many people are in Canada?
About 30 million.
30 million. Yeah. So a tenth of Canadians, regardless of being able to vote, voted in the advance polls.
Yeah,
that's an impressive number.
It is. It's pretty, pretty impressive.
Right.
What would be curious, what I would be interested to see is, they haven't released it yet, is what the percentage was again this year for voting. Because traditionally, it's pretty low. But... people might have felt like they could actually, their votes could count this time. But I think most people who, you know, really are political, what do you want to call them, junkies, you know, they don't really like Canada's vote electoral system.
No, no.
So
I mean, that's
it
the,
tends to...
That's the day after is like, we got to like change the electoral system.
Yeah.
Like that, which would have been the case if Harper had won too.
Yeah.
Like regardless, that's people, well, that's enough of that. Because we actually got to see what it was this time and went, oh, that doesn't sound right at all. I mean, the amount of people that voted, the person that won would have won probably regardless.
Well, he won with the same percentage that the Conservatives won last time.
Oh, is that right?
40%.
Okay.
40% of the vote went to the party that has... a majority of the seats. So they have 188 seats, I believe.
Okay.
The Conservatives have 99. The NDP took 44. The Bloc Québécois took 10.
What's wrong with all the numbers?
And the Green took one seat.
This is really impressive. I knew the Green number. That was about it.
Yeah.
Wow. Good
yeah.
for you for all the memorization.
Well, thank you.
I should have asked you other questions. What was I thinking? I was like pulling back when I should have been leaning in.
Yes.
Good stuff. So our electoral system is, it's not great. We're not happy with it.
Well, it's kind of weird because it's a strange system in the sense that it's you know based on the British parliamentary system, which as it works in England, you know the problem is is for in Canada.
You don't vote for the leader.
Yeah, we're not voting for the leader. That's right. You vote for your representative in your area that you think will do the best job to represent you.
Who might? Yeah, but the problem with that is sometimes you end up with like, I want this leader, but I don't want the person who's representing me because they're bad.
Well, that's what's going to screw you. But it screws you in kind of two different ways. I mean, one way is what you have now is you have a person. You know, let's say best case scenario. Obviously this isn't always the case.
Okay.
Ideally, you are voting for a person who's going to do their level best for his constituency, his or her constituency.
Sure. This is a Frank Capra character that you're voting for.
Yeah, that's
for.
Right. It's Mr. Smith.
Right.
He's going to fight for that Boy Scout camp. And he's going to do as much as he can.
To keep the gays out.
To keep the... Yeah, well, right? Who wants
that? That's
them?
What the Boy Scouts were all about back then, right?
You said Gates, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Gates.
No, we don't want David Gates from Bread in...
Yep.
Does that obscure everyone? You know, that's your ideal. So if you change that, if you change it to a proportional system.
Yeah. I'm not trying to think of Bread songs. I found your diary underneath the tree. Am I getting that right?
I thought it. If a picture told a thousand words.
Diary underneath the tree.
Dee, 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 dee. Isn't that Bread? If dot, dot, dot. That's a Bread song, right?
Okay. Maybe.
I don't have the best of Bread. That's what I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, my record collection is gluten-free, so I don't have any of that.
I was going to say it's kitsch-free, but I have a huge collection of ABBA records.
Tell you something
Partridge
about,
Family.
Let me tell you something about Bread nowadays.
Yeah.
They're toast. Hey, a cat just walked into the room.
It's true.
I was trying to do
a cricket came out cat.
Yeah, it was like a beautiful
I was purring
cat.
For your joke.
No, don't worry about it. The cat ate the cricket. Here we go. Continue with your political
the
rant.
The problem...
Dave on
rant,
politics.
It's not a rant. I'm just going to say, the problem with a proportional system then is that you're not voting for a particular representative. You're voting in a general block of people. And then I don't know how it's chosen out of that, who wins and who loses. Like, so, you know... You know what I mean, right? Like, so if you're just taking a percentage amount, let's say this election. So we have 40% of the vote went for the Liberals. So they
That's
have 40%
right.
of the seats in the House. Mm-hmm. If we did this, if it's done like straight, like, so then the Conservatives, they had less than that. They got 30% of the vote. They have 30%. And then it goes down from there. So everyone else gets their little dribbles. The Remains go to the NDP and right. the Bloc Québécois. And the Green Party. The Green Party, if it went, I think they had 500,000 votes, so they would end up with 10 seats.
Right. If it was the other system.
If it was that, if it was the system. Now, I don't know what that, you know, so it's kind of strange. So then you have these kind of weird things, like, so you have the Bloc Québécois, who only represent Quebec, since they're a separatist party. They want Quebec to separate from the rest of Canada. So they would have a representative amount in Parliament, but they would not necessarily be representing any specific part of Quebec.
Right.
You know, obviously their interests are for Quebec, but it's very strange. I mean, they're not just a one-note party, so I assume that they believe in, you know, Medicare and other things like that. Mm-hmm. So they'd be working in the interests of the Quebecois.
I really haven't looked into the Bloc Québécois, aside from, you know, that they want to separate from Canada. You're right. That's an interesting point. I wonder what else they're for.
I think they're very... Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
Are they kind of right-wing? Are they kind of left-wing? What's the rest of their deal?
It's odd.
It seems like a one-note party.
Well, it was started by René Lévesque, who was a Liberal, who was part of, like, Trudeau's cabinet.
Who was a caricature I could draw when I was seven.
I think everyone, if you just put a cigarette hanging from the
I drew pretty good editorial cartoons. This is a weird brag, but when I was seven or eight, I could draw the hell out of a René Lévesque.
You were Canada's Aislinn.
Well, isn't Aislinn Canadian?
That's right.
Thanks. Well, Dave, you're Canada's Justin Trudeau.
Thank you.
What?
I can fall down the
but
stairs.
But it's weird. It's like I drew it so quite well, like disturbingly well for like a kid my age. I was like, why can you draw René Lévesque? And it was like, I was pretty good at like, I liked editorial cartoons and I would copy and I would copy and I would copy. And I went, I get this. Big head, floppy hair, a big nose, cigarette in the mouth, bag under the eyes, bumpy chin, René Lévesque.
They're
like, what the hell? You're just like you don't expect a young kid to do political cartoons for you. And it threw people off. It was off-putting.
Thinking about that, it's interesting because you could then do a Jean Chrétien very, very well. Mm-hmm. You just have to do less hair.
Right.
But it's a very similar look. And are you looking for a pen to do this magic trick for me?
Yeah, I am kind of doing it.
And then really you could, if you just kind of reduce the chin, you could do a Trudeau out of that as well.
Right. Yeah, I'm trying to think if I can pull it off today.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I can.
Oh, I think you can.
I think I can. And this would be... This would be the Rennie Levesque that I would have drawn when I was a kid, like almost exactly like that.
Yeah, there's Rennie Levesque. Yeah, there you go. Boom. It's just like him. Just like him.
Take that, Ben Wicks. There's another reference. You're Canada's Ben Wicks.
No, you're not. You didn't emigrate from England to Canada.
Well, a thick Cockney accent.
A thick Cockney Ben Icks.
Yeah. Let me tell you more about me window washing days. Yeah, we saw a lot of things when we were washing windows.
So yeah, I'm curious to see what they'll do for electoral reform. But I think it's very brave of them to continue on with it. Because really, what were people saying the day before? If the Liberals win, that will be the end of electoral reform talk. Mm-hmm. And no, they're still talking about it.
Yep.
And I like that. Here's the things I like so far about Trudeau. One is that he won, which I like. He was the one I wanted to win, so okay. I was happy with that. Two, I like that the day after his election, he was in a subway station in Montreal, okay, shaking voters' hands, and there was no one else with him. He was just by himself.
Except for the camera crew.
There's a camera crew, but they're, far away. They're like across, because he didn't want them in the way. Because people were walking by him and not recognizing him. And then other people were like, "Who?" They're looking around like, "What? Is this just for laughs?" That's what everyone was thinking. It's because it's Montreal. That's the first thing.
What a horrible land to live in, right? You never know whether that cop pulling you over is a big joke or not.
Yeah, you don't know what's going to do: tickle you or give you a speeding ticket. And then,
but that was sweet. Yeah, the video clip of him taking selfies with people and all that kind of. You know what's nice? Because it's the kind of thing that a politician will do to death before, mm-hmm, but then after they've won, so long assholes.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, it was like, no, I'm here. We go.
And then people commented on it being, something having a risk element for him to be in public, unguarded, just shaking hands with people. And he said, "That's what's going to happen. And if you're nervous about that, too bad for you. But I am going to continue to be amongst the people speak to the people."
This isn't one of those 8 Secret Service guys around you at all times, right?
And then the other great thing is...
To be fair, Canada has not had that history that America has had with people taking a shot at the leader.
Well, I think we talked about it quite a few shows ago, but when Stephen Harper was here, our previous prime minister was here, seeing a hockey game, the American reporters who were there covering their hockey team were just amazed to see Canada's leader sitting in the stands, just with no one around him, just sitting there watching a hockey
game. And if you do break into a Canadian leader's house, their wife will knock you out with an Inuit sculpture.
That's exactly right. That's
or if you come at a guy, he's a prime minister, he will choke you out.
Same prime minister.
Yeah, that's right.
Same prime minister.
Prime Minister Two Fists.
The toughest prime minister in Canada.
That's right.
Christian.
He said to his attack dog, "I'll handle this."
Christian is French for two fists. So we're right when you say that. So then the other thing I like...
I have no idea if that's true or not.
I
don't know. It's just this land of lies that I have to walk through when I'm around you.
I feel like
I'm Montreal. I feel like I'm in Just for Laughs Gags. I never know where I'm coming or going. Recording?
That's how I like it.
Is this going to... Am I going to squirt me in the face halfway through?
You did sign a form. You did sign a form before we started the show.
Ugh, boy.
So then another thing I like that he did the same day for the first time in 9 years... The Prime Minister of Canada held a press conference.
Yes, with a press conference.
Held a press conference on Parliament Hill.
And all the reporters went, "What, seriously?"
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, we don't.
They're pulling their pants on running down the hallway.
I don't know. Jeez. Okay. Well, good question. Yeah. How you doing? What's your sign?
What's your favorite song?
Yeah. How many push-ups you do a day? It looks like a lot. Is it a lot?
I think that one picture that everyone's agog about is a little old.
Oh, that one, the boxing one?
Yeah, because he still has his little mustachios, which he hasn't had for a while.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. I don't begrudge anyone not going into the workout routine while you're running for office.
Running for office and being a dad. I mean,
and the other thing that was interesting with this was the longest election campaign we've ever had. What was it, like 78 days? 78 days. Which is delightful when you tell an American that. And just go
it's different in the States, though, because theirs is drawn out, but it's not a constant... It's not, 3 years of every day the guy's on the road pumping, pumping iron and pumping flesh and
whatever you do with American flesh. News coverage of your Sanders and Trumps and Clintons, think this must be right around the corner. They must be.
Yeah.
There's no reason. How long away is this?
Years away, isn't it?
No, it's not 3 years away. No.
Oh, it's 2016 they're doing it. Sorry. Yeah, mixed up.
No.
A year away.
Yeah.
But I mean,
but it's ridiculous still that it's like this then now. There's no reason for it.
But they're not constantly out on the road. you know, doing there. It's intermittent until you get until you get to the election time.
Do you
then
not
really
think this is basically like what's the majority of like Hillary Clinton's life right now?
But here's the thing: this is not the presidential campaign.
I know.
This is merely they're running for a nomination to represent the Democrats in or the Republicans as the presidential nominee. So this has nothing to do with it. The Trudeau and all the rest of them who are running, they already went through all this stuff. Trudeau, I think in 2014 he was elected. He ran for leader. I think it was 2014. Thomas Mulcair was interesting. He was the NDP leader. The NDP in Canada is kind of the Labour Party or the I don't even know what they even have a they don't have an NDP
it's working,
in North
working
America.
Class party. Yeah.
In America.
Union. Yeah.
In America, the NDP party are the guys that were hung in the '50s.
Sure.
That's the party.
By the way, let me just say, I think I mentioned this before, but I'm very impressed with the Communist Party in my neighborhood. Really got the flyers out.
Good
for them.
Good.
Yeah, they put the effort in. Good for them.
Why not?
You know? It's like I got flyers from I got the conservative guy who did the "Sorry I Missed You" flyer, though he didn't miss us. We were there. Didn't knock. Just shoved the flyer through the door.
Is that right?
Shut up. What's that about? "Sorry I missed you." It's already a lie. We got the knock on the door from the NDP. We got that on the day, which I don't think you should be able to do. But anyway, on the day.
Why not? Why can't you do it on the day?
I don't know. It just feels like on the day you should, you're done, right? It's Christmas Eve and it's Christmas Day. Now knock it off. Don't.
You can still go shopping on Christmas Eve.
You can't go shopping on Christmas Day.
You can.
No, you can't.
No. I said you can't. I mean, you can go shopping on Christmas Eve. You can't go shopping on Christmas Day.
Well, that's what I mean.
But you can prepare for Christmas. I mean,
no, but we got the flyer on Christmas Day is what I'm saying.
No,
it's election day.
Well, it's not Christmas Day. That's Christmas Eve, isn't it?
No, on the day of the voting. We got the knock on the door.
That doesn't make any sense.
What doesn't make sense about it?
Because
it occurred.
I don't know. It doesn't feel like it's Christmas Day, though. It feels like it's Christmas Eve.
Well, when is Christmas Day?
The next day when you find out who won. That's Christmas Day. Right?
But you don't do anything.
When you go to open your present and Justin Trudeau pops out, you're like, ooh, look at his six pack.
Okay. Now, you know what I thought you were going to say? The reason you liked him is because he can fall down the stairs.
Well, I was getting to that. You
said you liked two things.
No, I was talking about the day
these are the things I liked.
Here's
this and this and then.
I'm going to say one more thing then. Here's the other thing I liked is that right away he said he's going to start a committee to investigate the disappearance of Aboriginal women in Canada.
Yep.
Which he said on the campaign trail that he would do that. And the very first day, he immediately starts getting that on the go. Like he answers and says, yes, we are. We're going to, obviously we have to bring in other people who are involved in this. It can't just be a bunch of old white guys on Parliament Hill looking into this. It has to involve all of Canada, the Aboriginal people and everyone else. But that's fantastic that, he's ready to keep his promises that he made on the road.
It's about damn time on that. Yeah.
And yes, that's the other thing that outside of those political things, what I really like about him is the fact that, man, he can fall down the stairs really well.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that video is from 2002, so that's, 13 years ago.
Yeah. You don't want to be in your 40s falling down the stair.
It's
that would be the
thing.
Worst way for our prime minister to die.
Wouldn't joke?
It? Do, a as joke? A joke. Just like, hey, check this out. Ka-snap. What happened? He died doing a gag, falling down the stairs.
Yeah.
Oh,
but it's fantastic. I mean,
yeah.
And the weird thing is, I never even saw that until I was watching that terrible John Oliver piece about the Canadian election. And he used that as damning evidence against Justin Trudeau.
What?
And I was like outraged.
Against?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's like, it's an example of he's a dork or whatever. And I'm like, what? How can you even?
I didn't take it as that damning, as a damning thing.
It was meant as a put down of him, not as a compliment.
What you did, because by the end of it, it was them just screaming, "Don't vote for Harper!
Whatever.
Don't vote for Harper!" It was just basically straight out, "Don't vote for Harper." So you need at least earlier on to go, we've got to put down the other side at least a bit.
Find reasonable things
and
ridiculous falling on the stairs, which is awesome.
If the only thing that you can put the guy really down for is, he's a bit of a goof, that's fine. I didn't have a problem with that. That's
and he
fine.
Can't parallel park.
Where did that come
from? Just something like that. It just felt like that's what I felt like they're complaining about. Like
fair
something
enough.
So trivial that fuck.
But
off.
On the big, but on
fuck
the,
off, America. Go fuck yourself, fuckers.
Did you like the latter half of the show where they were, where you had Mike Myers in the Mountie outfit and they were.
Sorry, everybody. I just get emotional about people being put down for slapstick.
sure you
sorry.
Do. Absolutely.
I really do love America and I'm American, so, I feel like I can.
Absolutely, you can.
But
I actually think the Oliver thing helped. Like that really.
You really do?
Oh, I really do.
It's only the day before. I mean,
I know.
I think the momentum had already. No, no. What helped Trudeau was. Here's what helped Trudeau.
No, it might have anyway, but
the lackluster conservative campaign.
Yeah.
The pretty much we've already given up and we don't even want to do this. Get out of our sandbox. And then the fact that the NDP kind of did the same thing. They did this campaign where like, we're in the lead. Okay, no one rock the boat. Everybody, shh, we can tiptoe.
I'll give you that. I'll give you that's what the NDP did. Yes. But I think the other thing that happened was with the internet that the strategic voting idea really got out there where people were genuinely worried. Like I was genuinely worried where it was like, oh, no, not again. We're going to go through this again.
This was our first Facebook election.
Yeah. Well, wasn't it? Like 4 years ago, Facebook was around.
I know, but no one used it the way we use it now. Like you didn't have all the BuzzFeed.
Was it a full 4 years ago too? Was it? Or was it 3 years ago? It seems like we had a shorter in-between time this time, but I'm not sure. You're Johnny Numbers. Do you know?
I think it was actually longer than that. Wasn't it 2011?
Okay, but even so, Facebook was around in 2011.
No, I know it was, but I don't think we used it the way we have it now.
Well, though I do remember, you know, the shit Harper did folks really hammering, like really getting a lot of stuff from them on Facebook back then and went, oh, this is very funny stuff. This seems effective, and fuck all happened. Nothing happened.
Yeah.
You know, and it was like, oh, well.
Well, it did. It's just people voted NDP. The NDP had a big upswing, mm-hmm. But not in Western Canada votes conservative. That's how we vote, because that's the traditional voting pattern for Western Canada. You know, some Liberals, some NDP, mm-hmm. lots of conservatives.
Yeah. I just think like with this time around, it felt like it got broken down in a way that people could understand, which and there's so many people I know that were like, ugh, I don't want to vote strategically, but I've got to because we got to get the fucker out. So it's like, okay, you know, but then it's like, wait, is this just a Liberal scam? Is this a scam? am I getting scammed? Yeah. Oh, shit. And then people would like do the math for them and go like, no, it has to be this or this won't happen. I'm like, fuck. So well, by the end of it, like people are going like, Liberal. Well, the NDP got such a beat down.
Yeah.
But I don't think they got a real beatdown because I think people just were voting to get these guys out, not voting because I've lost faith in the NDP. Just like, look, we're in triage. We got to close this wound. How do we do this? Vote Liberal. Fine. Hold your nose and vote Liberal if you don't believe in it. Just do it because we got to get them out. So do it. And that's what it felt like to me, at least, the online thing from the people I know online. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I feel that the NDP ran such a lackluster campaign that they really, they shot themselves in the foot. I mean, the idea of voting strategically isn't voting Liberal.
They slowly inserted a bullet into their foot. It wasn't even exciting enough for it to be a gunshot. It was just like a pushed it in over a series of months.
The idea of strategic voting isn't that you vote Liberal. The idea of strategic voting is you vote for the strongest candidate that isn't a conservative candidate in your riding.
That's right.
So if the NDP candidate is ahead in the polls,
that's right.
Then you vote for that
as candidate. It was in our riding, yeah.
Yeah. So that's how you vote. So the fact that the NDP killed themselves during the campaign. They fell in all the polls, so you couldn't vote for them and be comfortable with the idea that you would that candidate would win. So I mean, and to be honest, where I live, if you're going to vote NDP, you might as well just throw your vote down the toilet. Mm-hmm. Don't even put it in the box. Just flush it down your own toilet at home, mm-hmm. because it is hopeless. There's not a chance in the
million years. You couldn't do that in my neighborhood because the toilets don't work half of the time. So it's just a bad idea. We had a lot of conservative signs up in our neighborhood. I think they were fairly sad at the end of it. But boy, howdy, they're good gardeners. The people that were conservative, mm-hmm. fantastic gardens.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a coincidence or whatever, but like, boy, people like Stephen Harper fucking know how to plant a flower.
I guess maybe it's that. And also they understand that they have an investment in their house.
Ah, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, I was next door to my father-in-law. We were talking yesterday, and his neighbor, the dog chewed through their basement door, which is a bad thing to happen.
Right, well, you got a door made of bacon. This is going to happen.
They didn't fix it.
What?
So then they had rats going in, living in their basement of their house.
Yeah.
And then they're selling their house, and because the reason we were talking about this is I was over at my father-in-law's yesterday. We were working on my car, and then there was a van there, and he goes, oh, I don't like to see that. And the van said, mold, mold, something or other. They're basically protecting you against allergens, right? They can get into your house. So particularly molds, which are very bad. And so, you know, and he says, yeah, well, I mean, their basement was full of rats. So they've got to, you know, all the crap and everything has to get taken out of there. And I was just like, ugh, you know, but it's only real, you know, it's their house. It's the biggest investment they have in their life, you know. Yeah. They're letting rats chew it to pieces. Stop it. You know.
Yeah, that's so amazing to me. Unless you're training the rats for some sort of circus act.
Yes, if you have a circus, that's fine. That's fine. I was going to say one more thing just about the election, just about, or the general electoral system. The problem with our system is, as you say, in America, you vote for a president, and then you have a system that's designed to act as a sort of this weird kind of stop-start, try to control the president so the president can't run
amok. Checks and balances.
Checks and balances, that's right. In England...
Executive, judicial, the other one.
Yeah.
The Star Chamber.
18.
Shield. It all balances out.
So then in England, you have a system there where the prime minister isn't a president. All he is he's just the person who leads his party. Mm-hmm. You know, he doesn't have any extra anything other than, supposedly, that's how it should work. He doesn't really have anything extra other than the fact that he leads his party, you know. And same with the leader of the opposition, you know. So there's an official opposition, there's an official, whatever it's called, official position. And then, what's weird in Canada is that the leader of the opposition has the cool house name and the prime minister gets the okay name.
Well, it's Sussex Drive for the
24 moment. Sussex yeah. is the name of the
and what's the opposition's house?
Stornoway.
Yeah, that's where James Bond fought sure. in the last film.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's part of Game of Thrones, I thought. Isn't that one of the towns?
Sure, that's another good reference.
Yeah. So then, but it is cool, right? It's a cool name, Stornoway. Way cooler than 24 Sussex. But anyway, so in England...
Sussex is still pretty good because it's got the X in it. Mm. It's got the word sex in it.
Okay, it's true enough. It's a sexy name. Sussexy. In England, the Czech is the queen. The queen is a person who the prime minister... In the old-timey way. I mean, yeah. And like during the time of Queen Victoria, the prime ministers had to go to the queen and they would together discuss what parliament was doing. She could cause parliament to go to election. She could dissolve a parliament.
But she was a woman.
And she was a woman.
How is that possible?
Well, there you go. And so.
It's crazy.
So, you know, in Canada, there is the Governor General who has that role. But because we have separated ourselves from England and we have a constitution now, it's really just a figurehead.
Yeah.
So the Prime Minister has taken on presidential powers without the checks and balances. So because we have a Senate, but the Senate's really just a rubber stamp.
Yeah.
And Parliament, if once there's a majority, that's it. You know, you have to deal with this incredibly powerful figure. And so you hope that there better be someone you like.
Yeah, it's a pretty sweet gig, apparently, the governor general job. If you're looking for a good job in Canadian government, basically you just go to parties.
Yeah.
You just report to the queen.
Mm-hmm.
You're fine.
Sure.
It's pretty good. Yeah. I mean, no one ever goes, oh, that governor general, unless you really say something racist in public or really are dumb.
The coolest governor general was John Buchan, who wrote The 39 Steps. He was the governor general of Canada.
He wrote the book The 39 Steps?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And that the governor general's award, which is a literary award, was started by him when he was here as governor general.
Hmm.
There you go, everybody. That's your trivia for today.
The other day I was talking to various comedians who had never heard of Peacock.
Never heard of a Peacock?
No, Stephen Peacock, the humorist.
Leacock.
Leacock. That would be my problem.
No wonder they never heard
God
of
God damn it. You know what? Let me tell you my problem.
You were thinking of Richard Scarry's character.
No, let me tell you what my problem was.
Yeah.
I know that it's Leacock, and I said Leacock at the time.
Okay, good.
But I was so not trying to say Sam, and I went, that's wrong. Stephen, got that right.
Got that right.
I fucked up the second bit.
Oh, too bad.
In a way that's funnier than most Leacock stories. Anyway.
I like Stephen Leacock.
Nah, do you?
The bank one? That's a good story.
All right, fine.
You know what? Here's a problem with Stephen Leacock.
Or, the Leacock Award.
Or anyone who reads...
Find any Leacock Award winner that you actually like.
You have to read one story. Don't sit down and read the whole book at one time.
Sure, sure. That's a good thing.
You know, like that's a problem.
He did the one where, like the guest wouldn't leave, right? What was that? Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's a good story.
Look, it's all fine.
The cat came back. Classic Stephen Leacock.
Sure, it's fine. The I think, again, my problem is that the Leacock Award, I've read a lot of Leacock Award winners.
Mm-hmm. Charlie Farquharson, did he win?
Oh, probably. And just as a comedian, I just get mad reading them.
Yeah.
I just go, what? Put down your tea, judges. Put it down. Come on now. Settle down.
I think Canada has a hard time with humor that pushes any boundaries. That's not what we
Unless
like.
We leave. Then we're fine.
Then we're fine with that, yeah.
Doing it. And then they come back.
Do
and
it
like,
somewhere else.
Welcome, friend. Welcome back, friend.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I've read any Stephen Leacock award winners, just merely, I don't know, I'd have to look and see the list.
I know like two of them as well. They're fine.
Eric Nickel? Did Eric Nickel win?
Probably. Yeah, probably.
See, once again, I mean, the problem with reading Eric Nickel is when I read him, he was in his 90s or something like that, and he was writing humor for 90-year-olds.
Yeah.
And it was way beyond my interest.
I did.
Everybody take a drink?
Okay, yeah. That's one of the things we do on our show is like when a siren goes by, you take a drink and try to guess ambulance, fire truck, or police truck.
That was an ambulance, was it?
That was an ambulance.
Sounded like
one. If you guess correctly, eat a piece of toast. I played.
This game is getting very elaborate.
I played Eric Nickel in a play by Eric Nickel.
Oh.
And then I had to leave that play because they wouldn't pay me.
Oh.
And then, oh, the controversy.
Not even a nickel.
Oh, brother. Guys, sorry, a little giddy today. How are y'all? As we explain the electoral system of Canada. Yeah, we've all been on a bender, drinking maple syrup. Eating Nanaimo bars, eating tortillas, and everything. But yeah, I played him in a play, or it was an analog for him that was obviously him, And so, yeah, I did do a bunch of research on him back in the day. Mm-hmm. And then, that always useless research when I had to quit the show. And then, and then the guy who was I think I mentioned this before, but the guy who was like, had the least lines then took over my part.
Okay.
And later confronted me at a party. And said, you left because you were scared of the part. It was too much for you, right? Because he bombed in the part.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was too much for you. Admit it. And I was like, yeah, that was it. It's too much for me. No, it just didn't pay me. That was why I left. It was easy. It was easy part.
Yeah.
So, you know?
Yeah.
Just your pithy writer who's complaining about stuff and you make out with the pretty girls. Yeah. Mm. It's not that hard. The kissing the pretty girls.
Was it called the Hello Girl?
No, it wasn't. But it was called the Ian's not really that comfortable with kissing the pretty girls in the play because I feel creepy doing it. That did feel creepy.
Really?
I felt creepy.
That seems like a great time to take advantage of that situation. Ugh. When I was taking swimming lessons as a young man.
Oh, Jesus.
We had to do CPR. That was like, was the moment. I was in a class with three girls. Just me and three girls.
Yeah, that's what you want. You want to be like in a bathing suit while that business is going on.
Here's the weird thing, though, is that the guy teaching the class always put the two good-looking girls together. And I got the plain or not-so-good-looking girl as my partner every time, which mm-hmm. didn't seem very fair to me as a teenage boy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well.
This conversation's taking a turn.
It's Trudomania.
No, I feel fine. I feel fine like in a show, kissing someone. That's fine. I'm absolutely fine with that. 100% actor, do it. In rehearsal, I feel like, well, this isn't necessary.
You don't need to do it.
There's no need. We don't have to every time do this.
So you know? Just shake hands with him.
Yeah, it's like there's some plays I've been in where you actually have to get slapped across the face or something, right? Mm-hmm. And like in the show, hit me across the face. I can roll with it. It's fine.
Yeah.
But if we're rehearsing it like five times in a row, don't. There's no need. We know what's going to happen, okay?
Yeah.
We don't need to loosen my teeth like
this. What's wrong? Can't take the role? Too much for you? The role's too much for you, right?
That would have been, pretty much. But yeah, that guy was, oh boy. I'd run into him every so often, and he'd just be the bitterest guy I've ever seen. He was one of these guys who, and again, I think I've talked about this on the show before, where like, if he would always ask you, so how's it going?
Yeah.
And like, you would go, things are going great. He'd be, must be nice. I was like, okay. Then I was like, all right, so it's
did
like,
he call you Boothby?
So how about, yeah. And then it's like this one. How's it going? Things are rough. Oh, you think you got problems? Let me tell you about me. So there's no win. There's no win on this. You just want to just go, just dump. Just take your dump and go. Whatever. Tell me how bad things are for you. Yeah, the acting world was not kind to him.
Is that right?
I don't think so. No. But then.
But did he kind of ask for it?
You can see the reasons.
Kind of sounds like it.
You know, it's like a lot of people who, when you see that it doesn't work out for them, you kind of go like, and I can see clearly why that is mm-hmm. right now. And maybe you should know that, but I'm not going to be the one to tell it to you.
No, no, you're not.
No.
Because he wouldn't listen to you.
Do you know why I think it is? Because of who you are. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Me, maybe a little less you.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Mean.
Oh,
that's maybe. Very mean of you.
Maybe it is.
I feel like you're not embracing the sunny ways that are going to be taking over Canada.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, we're all going to get much sexier. I think Canada is going to get a lot sexier in the next little while. We're just going to feel peer pressured into it.
Did you know that's from a fable, that saying, sunny ways?
Mm-mm.
Do you know what that is, sunny ways?
I've never heard of that saying in my life.
Oh, okay. Well, this our first French-Canadian prime minister, Saint-Laurent, mm-hmm. that was his... His kind of his political style was called Sunny Ways. which was, and it comes from a fable about the sun and the wind were having an argument over who was more powerful.
Okay.
And they were both arguing that they could make a man take off his jacket.
All right.
So the wind
started. I know the story, but please tell.
So
it to
the
our
wind
friends.
Started first. The wind yeah. blew on this man and, you know, stormed upon this man, and all he did was pull his jacket tighter.
Right.
The sun said, "Okay, that was my turn." So the sun just shone down on this person.
Yeah.
And made it nice and warm, and the guy took off his jacket of his own free will.
Right.
And, you know, put it over and just walked down the street, and the sun won. So Saint Laurent's idea was that politics should be a positive force, not a negative force. And so that's something that Trudeau has been talking about in his speeches, and when in his speech, his you know, his whatever you call it, his winning speech, he quoted that, but he didn't give a context to it, which was kind of odd. But
all right, here's the problem with the wind. Why the
wind? You can't blow off someone's jacket.
No, here's what you do.
Yeah, the wind is dumb.
Yeah, why the wind is dumb. The wind.
Yes.
Here's what the wind's got to do. The wind's got to stop winding and just calm down.
Yeah.
Then the guy's going to go, well, it's not windy anymore.
Yeah.
Time to take off this jacket. Second, he starts to take off the jacket. You, the wind, catch it and blow it right off him and send it flying down the thing.
Yeah.
And then the wind wins the bet with the sun.
Ugh. See, he's dumb.
Yeah.
What
did the sun win? What are they betting?
I don't know. Just the ego. Pat on the back.
Okay.
I guess that's what they get. I mean, I don't know. Ego strokes. That's all they want. They're forces of nature.
It seems like a sucker's bet for the wind.
Are you saying forces of nature don't have egos?
Well, when the whole thing is like, you know, it's like if the sun and a snow cloud went like, I bet you I can get that guy to take off his snow pants. And then the snow cloud goes, I'll show you. I'll snow as hard as possible.
Yeah.
Now it's, oh, he didn't take off his snow pants. I was like, okay, well, how about this?
Says the sun. He was aiming to get all the snow into his pants so they would just be pulled down to the, that was what his plan was.
Oh,
It didn't work. That's the problem. See, the wind was trying to blow really hard so it would blow off the guy's jacket, but he just wrapped it around himself.
That is something I do not miss anymore, is wearing snow pants. As a young man in Canada, you had to have snow pants and you had to wear them to school.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
wear them to
school. Then you have to take the snow pants off, and it's a big production number. And every kid had to take off these stupid snow pants, and none of them could take them off themselves. And it was just this, it was like a bunch of horses having to be deshoed before a class. Oh, it's terrible.
Hence the famous story by that guy that Canadian children's book writer, Munch.
Frankie Snowpants.
No, Thomas's Snowpants. You don't know that story where he won't take them off and the teacher... And the principal.
No, wait a second. Is this guy a Leacock Award winner?
Robert Munch?
Yeah.
I don't know. He wrote that one, like, I'll Love You Forever.
I know. Yeah. I'm just doing a callback.
Oh, sorry.
For fuck's sake.
I don't know. You don't have kids.
I'm doing a total pullback.
You don't have kids. So
I know Munch.
I don't
Paper
know.
Paper Bag Princess. I Love You Forever. One. Make All the Parents Cry.
That's a weird
reading
one.
That fucking one.
That's a weird one.
And we're rocking the old mom don't back
like
and
it.
Forth.
Don't like it.
And then, yeah, it's weird. You don't like that one.
No.
Oh, people buy that one, Doug. I know. Oh, like crazy.
But it feels like that's for you, not for your kid.
I wonder.
It feels weird. I don't like it.
Okay.
It's creepy.
Is it?
Just like an adult going into their kid, like when their kid's an adult, going in and rocking their son. It's weird, man. It's creepy. Don't like it. Don't like it.
What's your favorite Munch then?
Maybe Thomas Snowsuit. There's a good one with a kid who...
What happens to him in the snowsuit? Sorry, you got to tell me that first.
In the end of the story, the teacher ends up dressed in the snowsuit after they have a big fight.
Oh, okay.
And then class is called in and he doesn't have to go outside. And then, it's not bad. There's Paperback Princess is pretty good, but there's also one, I don't know what it's called, but it's this girl decides she's going to put on makeup, but she uses these indelible markers on her face.
Okay.
And then, is it her face or someone? And then I think her dad too. But then she has to cover it up. So she covers it up, but her dad doesn't know. And so he's walking down the street and the rain has washed off the stuff covering it. And he's just got all these crazy patterns on his face. It's a pretty good story. Pretty good.
No, Munch is all right.
Munch is all right. That's I became quite the connoisseur of children's stories when I was my girls were younger.
Here's my thing about Munch. I used to have a thing in my act about this.
Sure.
Because he was found to be in possession of cocaine at one point, and
you know, he wrote a lot of stories.
Right. But here's the thing. So he's found to be in possession of cocaine at one point.
Yeah.
And he said to the press that he's given it up.
Yeah.
But he'll like it forever and love it for always.
Sure.
Yeah.
Just him when he's an old man creeping in and grabbing that bag of coke and cradling it.
Yeah.
On the rocking chair. Oh, that's terrible. Creepy. Creepy stuff, man.
It's not that creepy. It depends. Weird. It's your angle. It's weird.
It's weird.
Hey, Dave. Love is weird. Love is weird, man.
Love isn't weird.
Love is weird.
No, it's not.
That's weird.
I mean, it can be.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be.
It's good when
it's
weird.
Not always.
It's best when it's weird.
It's not best when it's weird.
It sure is.
That is weird. It's and it's dumb.
Mm-hmm.
That you could sneak into your,
when it's dumb.
That you could sneak as an old person, you could sneak into your kid's house, not wake them up, drag them out of bed, into your lap, and cradle them, and they're not going to freak out.
Okay.
Like, if I was that kid, I would fucking freak out. I'd be like, what the hell's going on? Like,
All kids' books are completely realistic. You're absolutely right. Now, anyway, let's put down Peter Pan. Let's make a...
Peter Pan is clearly a fantasy. This book is not presented as a fantasy. This book is presented as a reality.
I think it's pretty much a fantasy when the point when you're like rocking your adult mum in the arms. Yeah, I think you are.
Don't like it.
Unless she's in a coma or something.
Don't like it at all.
All right, fair enough. I like the book.
Do you like it?
I've bought it a couple of times, yeah.
Sweet.
For various people. The Peter Pan, by the way, the latest Pan movie just tanked incredibly hard.
Well, it would, because it's terrible. I haven't even seen it, and I know it's terrible.
How do you know it's terrible?
Because it's another one of these things that has to explain.
How do they meet Captain Hook, and they were buddies?
You don't need it. You do not need it. You don't need the prequels.
Okay.
The prequels suck. You know, you don't need to know that the witch was actually good, and then she was turned bad by someone else's machinations, and now don't you feel bad that the house fell on her? No.
Yeah, that seems to be the angle, like, all of them go, is, like, no one was straight evil. Whoever is the evilest character, let's see their prequel. Ah, they were fine.
Yeah.
And then had a bad day, and then everything went.
Had a bad day, became a bad witch.
No. Now you turn green, now you're a bitch. Send scarecrows on fire all day. Yeah, it's weird in that story. Like, the worst person, like, the witch is in The Wizard of Oz. The witch is
not... We know what you're talking about.
Okay. The witch is not the worst villain. The worst villain is the wizard.
Yeah, he's a dick.
Yeah, he sends all these people...
Dick move.
...off to be killed.
Yes, that's what he does. He gets just to get rid of them.
Right.
He doesn't have an end game. He's not like, this way I can get rid of the queen or the witch, and then I can move into that territory.
Yeah, he doesn't expect they're going to kill the witch. He expects the witch is going to kill all of them.
He's just trying to get rid of some trouble on his back.
Yeah, he's bored. And he's like, I don't want to deal with this.
I don't want to go away.
Including the dog. Mm-hmm. So if they came back and went, they all died. Meh, that's life.
Too bad. Oh, look, that horse is a different color.
Yeah, and you know this isn't the first time he's pulled this.
No.
You know?
Because of the pile of corpses littering the
witches. Yeah, he didn't just make this up. He's been doing this for years, and he's been bossing people around, and he's been getting stuff. Yeah. Like, don't tell me he's not getting all of his stuff for free. He doesn't pay taxes. He lives in this fucking castle.
He's the religion.
Yeah, you know, he's their religion. They're sacrificing things to him.
The whole castle is tax-free.
Probably nude dancing and stuff. He's a terrible person. The witch, all she wants is her shoes. He wants her sister's shoes. The end.
Well, they're magical shoes.
That were her sisters. Fair,
she's trying to increase her power.
To do what?
To be more witchy, I guess.
What would happen if she had the shoes?
I don't know. Maybe she'd come down on the munchkin people real hard.
But she can anyway. She can, like, set shit on fire.
She's going to end the lollipop guild for good.
She could anyway. She's, like, magic. She's got magic power. She's got the monkeys. Apparently. If you brought those monkeys to Munchkin Land, what we got? Dead munchkins is what you got.
I don't know.
What's your fucking deal?
I think the munchkins take the flying monkeys.
You need at least one scene in this movie where the witch puts on the shoes, and then all of a sudden,
now we see what's
shit meets fan.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
now we got it going.
Now we got it going. Then the water goes on her, and then we. Whew, luckily, we averted that. Yeah, that would be good.
Poor thing can't even have a glass of water. What does she drink? Poor thing.
Do you think she can't drink water, or she just can't have it on the outside of her? She has to be very careful while she drinks water.
Well, she didn't get on her lips. She can't drink water.
No, I guess not. Maybe her lips shrivel a little bit. But
this also means she can't go out when it rains. Right?
She wears a hat.
The only thing that I could think is that now here's what would make sense to me.
Okay.
Is if the bucket that she's got, that she's getting her to clean with.
Yeah.
It's some sort of crazy. It's
magical water?
Yeah. Witch's brew. Some kind of like burn the shit out of everything so that it cleans everything. You know, and then she gets that on her.
Yeah.
Then that all goes to
town. It's just water.
It's just water. It makes no sense.
Well, I kind of like it, actually, in the sense that it's, you know.
Did you like it in Signs when they did the same thing?
Fuck no. Who would like that? Because you've already seen it. You're like, I already saw this movie. I don't need to see it again.
Mm-hmm.
You know how I am about that.
Here's the other thing.
I haven't seen that movie for a while.
If your one weakness is water.
Yeah, don't go to a planet that's 70% water.
Well, that's a thing too. Okay, but I'm going to say this about the witch.
Okay.
All right. If your deal is, if I get any water on me, I'm dead. Like any water at all.
Sure.
Don't go setting shit on fire. Because you're just asking for water to be thrown.
I guess, but why do you have water nearby you too? Like, wouldn't you just have an edict in your castle? Like, no water.
Well, this is the thing.
I don't want to see any buckets of water anywhere around
me. Here's all I can think about that is like, because clearly she cleans that castle and she doesn't clean it. She doesn't clean her own castle, right? Yeah. And she's got these monkeys.
She could.
And these monkeys must be doing the cleaning or those guards. Okay.
Yeah.
But she's got flying monkeys. You're gonna get monkey shit everywhere.
I was gonna say all the monkeys do is just clean up their own shit.
Shit, right? Yeah. So you got to be cleaning constantly. And I would think like eventually you need like some strong solvent to clean that monkey.
Wouldn't the
shit
monkeys
up.
Though kind of realize after a while that this is just causing them a lot of extra work and stop doing the monkey throwing?
Here's question number two:
the poop throwing.
Were these monkeys
yes.
regular monkeys, and then she made them flying monkeys, or
no.
were they bred, are they just like flying monkeys?
They're just flying monkeys that live in that world.
Yeah. In The Wizard of Oz, yeah. we've got flying monkeys.
Yeah, because if you have a guy who's made of straw who can talk, mm-hmm. I think you can reasonably have monkeys that can fly.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
I mean, if you have witches, why would you be like, I'm okay with witches, but flying monkeys, no.
Okay. Well, no, I'm fine with witches.
Yeah, but flying monkeys, no.
Yeah,
they have to be invented in the lab.
She can fly. Yeah, I don't know. She seems like the kind of person who might be doing some experiments on various things, right? Okay. Like, I get it. Like, sure. I've read the later Wizard of Oz books.
I have not read a Wizard
and,
of Oz book.
And, oh, they're good. They're creepy. They're good. Mm. They really are good books. But, man, the Oz is a creepy, creepy world. The wheelies. Creepy.
Oh.
Yeah. The deadly desert. Oh, creepy. You step in that desert, guess what happens? You're now desert. Turns you to sand. Now you're part of the desert. Welcome to the desert. It's you.
Wasn't it all some kind of written as a rant against treasury bonds?
Oh,
or something
Jesus
like that?
Christ. I hope not. Oh, that's the worst thing when you've like something that you've liked and is like, this is all political satire. Shut up, Gulliver. I don't want to hear any of that nonsense.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me enjoy it as a magical, wonderful
land.
Yeah,
I made the mistake as a young man of reading an annotated version of Alice in Wonderland.
No.
Yeah.
Boo. No, it's just what it is. It
sucked all the joy out of it, you know. And you're reading a Victorian fantasy book, so that, you know, there's very little joy to be had in the first place. So sucking it further really causes a lot of problems. Mm-hmm. Actually, the first time I read it, I enjoyed it quite a bit. But then I thought, oh, I'll read this annotated version. That would be really interesting. And it's just, yeah.
No. It's like they say, the less you know, the better you are.
Yeah. So this was a parody of Robert Peel, the, what? Why? Like, who cares?
Yeah, I always assumed, like, Wizard of Oz is probably some sort of political satire by the time you get to the end of it. And, like, probably the Scarecrow, the Lion, and the Tin Woodsman, they sound like they're politicians of the day or some
is nonsense. That right?
Doesn't that sound like it?
I guess,
this is the guy with no brain. This is the guy who's got no courage. This is the guy who's got no heart. They must be the... And we get it. And it's all... Who's the wizard? The wizard is a... Boo. Yeah, boo.
But is it really... It doesn't really work, though. I mean, maybe I'm thinking more of Narnia when I say that. Because there you're supposed to be like, when I read it as a kid, I didn't know that it was
nope, me either.
So then you find it later, like, oh.
Jesus.
He's an analogy for Jesus. And you're like, wait, so, because Jesus came back and then had a big battle with swords, fighting a bunch of fairyland folk and then killed a queen? That's a big, I remember that part of the Bible. That's right. It's a big part of the end of it.
Yeah.
Then he gives the great commission.
Remember where Jesus eats a zebra?
Does he eat a zebra?
And then goes to sleep for 20 hours because he's really sleepy.
Because he's a lion.
Yeah.
I get you now.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it just seems weird to me that I don't get it. I mean, I know that he gets killed, like he sacrifices himself, mm-hmm. and then he comes back to life. Okay,
yeah, but so does Optimus Prime.
Yeah, well, I think they're following a trend. I think there's a kind of a story there that
so does Superman. Yeah,
yeah. There's it's a long time, kind of a folkloric thing. So he comes back to life. There you go. But I don't like. To me, it seems just like a weird. So that the lion is, but then the lion leads a battle against the Snow Queen, right?
Yeah.
And then they fight all these centaurs and minotaurs and
then eat Turkish other delight.
There's a lot of tars going, fighting each other.
Yep.
A lot of Turkish delight eating. That's good. And then, I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense. Like when you read it as a kid, you're like, this is fun.
Yep.
And then when you hear that as an adult, you're like, I'm confused now. I don't get it. I tried to read all the books as a young man, probably when I was 11 or 12, but I gave up at a certain point. It just, after a while, it's just too dry. Dry as dust.
Sort of like, you know, at the end of it, what's Scooby-Doo an analogy for? It's like, I don't know, or fear of the elderly. Probably is, actually, now that I'm thinking about it. It's always old people, right? Trying to kill the kids.
Well, when you're that age, everyone seems old.
That was one thing with Spider-Man. If you read the first bunch of issues of Spider-Man, he's always fighting old people. Fighting like the Vulture, who's like clearly a really old guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Dr. Octopus, who's kind of a fat old guy. Mm-hmm. Like everyone's, and then the Tinkerer is one of the next ones, is like an old guy. It's like all these old guys.
Yeah,
like this teenager who's just like going up against these old men.
I agree with you, except for this thing.
Well, you don't have to agree with me. It's just the truth.
I agree with you.
All right.
But here's the weird thing is at that time, everyone was old. Like if you watch a movie from that time period, mm-hmm. everybody's old. Like there's no teenagers doing heroic stuff or even like young 20-year-old guys doing heroic stuff. It's always really old people who are like the heroes. Like I was watching I was watching a movie, X the Unknown. It was like a British Hammer, very low-budget sci-fi film. It was on TCM a few weeks ago, so I was watching it. And it's bad.
Okay.
You know, it's not a good film. But what was interesting about it is like the hero of the film is this old balding guy. Like he's like the 60-year-old man. He's like the hero of the film. And you're like, wow, that is a different time. That, mm-hmm. You know, and like, what's the guy who played Rumpel the Bailey? Leo McKern.
Right.
Is like an investigator for this British Atomic Energy Commission type place. And, you know, he's in his 40s. He's obviously in his 40s, late 40s.
Yeah.
And he's not a handsome fellow. And I don't want to be mean to Leo McKern, but he's not a handsome fellow.
Yeah.
He's a pug-nosed guy. Well,
you look at the first issue of Fantastic Four and look at Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah.
That guy is like, that guy's 50. Like, he's got to be 50. Like, yeah. He's really great temple. Yeah, he's got the long in the face. He's got a couple of wrinkles. He's got the pipe.
Sure.
And this is your lead.
Yeah.
This is your Mr. Fantastic. They de-aged him over time.
Okay.
Because, you know, Sue could only be in her 20s because, you know, how could we have an older lady in the group? That's impossible. Has to be a pretty young lady. Yeah. And then her brother is, a teenager, young teenager, like 14, 15. So, old Gramps. Was your lead guy back in the day.
But I think that was a novel change that the Marvel Comics brought. I mean, Superman seems like an old fellow. Like, Clark Kent doesn't seem like a young guy.
He feels
like an older fellow.
They always said that he was 29. That was the age that they held, held Superman at. Batman was always about...
Was he Jack Benny?
I'm thinking about Krypton. and Batman was, like, older. He was, like, about 35 getting a little bit up
there. That's old. When you're a little kid, when you're reading those books, that seems really up
there. Yeah, but they want to make sure Superman did not cross 2029. Uh-huh. But it feels like the thing you do, though...
But he seems older than that.
But you think the thing that you always did, the trope, is your villain as a superhero is your opposite. So it's like you're Superman, you got Bizarro, you know, you're the opposite. But your opposite is around your age, right? You know, it's a Superman doesn't really beat up old people. He didn't, maybe Batman did beat some old people up, like old scientists, I guess. That's possible.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe I stand corrected on that.
But Marvel kind of recognized this sort of new generation gap that was happening. And I mean, they really kind of anticipated it in early 60s. The idea of teenagers being, in opposition to old people, you know, that's a pretty new idea at that time. It's probably why they were very popular. So this kind of, you know,
punching
Grandpa in the face seemed really, you know, when you get to the mid 60s and people are really wanting to punch Grandpa in the face because Grandpa wants to send them to the war.
Yeah.
You know, then you've got this, you know, huge market that's like, wow, these guys are right on top of this.
And then Spider-Man's like worst enemy was his best friend's dad.
Mm.
And he had to go after him.
Yeah.
So, you know, he was considerably older too. Yeah.
And is he like an industrialist?
Yep.
So, you know, even more horrible. He's not just old, but he's an industrialist. He's part of this, you know, the military and complex, you know, and making weapons and so it's interesting how they kind of got in on that from the ground floor.
Yeah,
let's put it that way.
And it was all flukety doodle because, you know, I mean, the reason they did Fantastic Four was because, you know, they heard that I forget who it was, but someone told Stan Lee, you know, it was like Stan Lee's boss went, you gotta do a team book because that Justice League is doing well. It's like, all right.
Yeah.
But basically Marvel was folding. Like it was dead. I was like, all right, let's just do it our way that we wanted to do. No costumes. All right. And then of course by three issues in, it was like, oh, we gotta do some costumes. Put some costumes in there. But they just, you know, used, you know, the type of characters they had in other things and just made it up. And,
sure, but I think
flukety-do. And
it was, it was sort of flukety-do, but at the same time, it was probably unconsciously astute for him, you know, for Stan Lee to clue into this idea that, oh, this teenage element of it, that's what really makes it popular.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it's weird. Like, you look at something like Spider-Man, which was, you know, it was put into the last issue of a series that was being canceled because it was like, who cares? It's a dumping ground. Who gives a fuck?
Amazing Fantasy?
Amazing, which was before that issue called Amazing Adult Fantasy.
And they
pulled the adult out for this one issue. So it was like Amazing Fantasy. Yeah, at number 15, they put the Spider-Man story in because who gives a shit?
Yeah.
And there, it's done because no one thought it was going to do anything because spiders are creepy. And then people liked it. It was like, maybe we'll make a comic of it. So they made Amazing Spider-Man, and then it did all right, and then it did more all right. But every step of the way, you know, it was like, wow. And they really thought the Hulk was going to do great. They went, oh, people love this. Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, love it. Canceled in six issues. Dead. And they just brought him back every so often in other comics, you know. And same with, like, X-Men. Oh, people love the X-Men. Nah. No, not like X-Men. X-Men stink. Boo, stinks. Always was like a dead book. Went to reprints like around issue 30. No one cares. Canceled. And then they brought it back later on.
Yeah, but with better characters.
Well, they brought it back. I think, again, we've talked on the show about this before, but they looked at like where their books were selling the best in the world and then tried to feature a character from every country in that in that place.
Okay.
So you got the Irish guy. They're doing well in Africa. They're doing well. You know, they sell okay in Russia. There's a Canadian. Let's put a Canadian in there. Let's put them all in there. And so that was it. It was basically their most pandering book there was. And then it took off because people like the pandering.
And it was a good writer.
Yep.
That makes a difference too.
Yep.
I was going to say something about... forget it. Who cares?
Okay. We're going to say that Tomorrowland is an underrated film?
I've not seen Tomorrowland.
Oh, it's an underrated film.
So I will not talk about its underwear at all.
That's underrated.
Oh, underrated. Sorry.
Yeah.
I didn't see it.
It is very Brad Bird-y. And it goes full Brad Bird.
Okay.
In the movie. So good for it. I say, folks, check it out. See what you think. Mm. We were quite delighted with it. There's some scenes in there that you're just like, wow. Oh, hey. All right. Nice one. Wow.
Well, that's what I've heard about, though. There are good scenes in it, but that it doesn't hold together as a film.
Depends what you think about the message at the end.
Okay.
If you buy it, it's fine. If you don't, it's not very good. We bought it.
You bought it wholesale.
Yep.
You're a Birdite.
I am a Birdite.
Yeah.
One of the reasons I'm a little bit tired right now is I just did a rehearsal seconds before.
I didn't know you were tired.
A little bit tired. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I am kind of tired.
Okay.
Because I'm fighting a cold.
Mm-hmm. Is that why your contribution to the show is a little substandard today? Is that what you're saying?
No, I just don't think I'm good anymore.
You don't think you're good anymore?
No, I think I've run my
I feel like
gamut.
That too.
Yeah.
Not you, but I feel that way about myself.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'll just call it.
Okay.
All right. Time of death.
203. We've come to making that sound.
And then, like Superman, we're back.
Like Aslan the Lion.
That's right.
Now it's time to go fight the Snow Queen.
Yeah, roar.
Get some Turkish delight.
Speaking of things that you normally wouldn't cross over.
Save Mr. I can't remember his name. The Pan.
Oh, Pan.
Centaur character. The centaur character.
Yeah.
Not the Fawn. He's Mr.
You're right about it. It's the Fawn.
Mister, oh, I know people out there are yelling at us.
That's
let
right.
us know. Just
I know there's a thing where the fawn jumps the shark. I know that happens at a certain point. I've written parodies of that, and so I've had to read just enough.
Yeah,
again to like make all the jokes work.
Mm-hmm.
But I was gonna throw out
just watch the movie.
A shout out for right now was Lego Dimensions, which I was completely hooked on last week while I was like really at the worst of this.
Is
cold.
This a video game?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
And here's the idea behind it. It is. First of all, you have to build a Lego contraption for this to start. You build like a little Lego.
To build a hand control out of Lego?
No, you don't, though that would be neat. You build a little hoop that's like things can go through a little portal, and then you build the characters. And your three characters you start off with, Wild Style from the Lego movie. Did you see the Lego movie?
I did. I don't remember that character.
Okay, she was the female lead.
Okay.
She had the colored hair, and she was the master builder.
Wow.
And then there's Gandalf from the Lord of the Rings
all
and
right.
The Hobbit. And
poor J.R.R. Tolkien.
And Batman.
Okay.
And those three go off and have an adventure.
Wow.
And they, because all the dimensions have weakened, and so now they're going into these different worlds.
Okay.
So you're going into, let me tell you, Dave, here's where you're going.
Okay.
You're going to the Simpsons world.
Okay.
You're going to the DC Comics world.
Okay.
You're going to Lord of the Rings, of course you are. Why wouldn't Lego? And Lego, you're doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to the Back to the Future world.
Okay.
You're going to the Portal 2 world.
Which Back to the Future world?
All of them.
The present Back to the Future world?
You're in the
future
DeLorean.
Back to the Future world?
So you can drive the DeLorean to
past?
The past
okay.
or the present
okay.
or the future.
Okay.
Whatever. Well, the present is the future because we just passed the present.
I've never seen that
before. It's all past to us now.
Okay.
But it's, holy cow, at Scooby-Doo. You can be at Scooby-Doo. Ghostbusters.
All right.
You're in a scene. There's a scene where like I'm as Batman and I'm fighting General Zod with the Ghostbusters on a roof in New York.
Okay.
Oh, it's fun.
Wow.
Gosh darn it, it's fun. It's stupid and fun, dumb, so fun. Every time you go into a new world, you're just like, I don't know what's gonna be. Oh, I'm delighted.
So that's a PlayStation 4 game.
It is a for all the systems basically.
For all the systems.
Yeah. And it's nice you got to build all
it
the
crosses
little
dimensions and systems.
It does. And it's fun to build all the little characters and you build their cars and you build all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a nerd and it's pushed all the buttons.
I'm not judging.
It worked.
I'm not judging.
It's fun. You like go into and you can go back into the world with different characters and like all of a sudden like I'm Wonder Woman. Oh, fuck. It's fun to be Wonder Woman. She can fly everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's good. It's good times. So I'm throwing a recommendation out for that game.
Wow.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll send us free games.
Nope. No one will
send
do that.
Send us a free Lego Dimensions game, and then we can give it away as a prize.
Sure.
Do that right away, please. Whoever runs that game.
Yeah, that's the one thing when I've got a cold, like I'll be able to write for a certain amount, and then I'll just go, oh, the fever's kicking in now. I should not write anymore. And then it's a good time to go and be Scooby-Doo.
Uh-huh.
Because no one gets hurt.
You don't do that any other day other than when you're sick.
I don't play as many video games as when I'm sick. But when I'm sick, that's when I really buckle down and do it.
Yeah. You buckle down and play video games.
Oh, here's who else is in there.
You put your shoulder to the grindstone.
Doctor Who is in there, too.
Ooh.
So you fight Daleks. Batman is fighting Daleks. Pretty good.
Gosh darn Daleks.
The best thing in the whole game, though, is when you're fighting the angels.
Okay.
Oh, it's creepy.
You mentioned that. You said the room goes dark.
Yeah, legitimately creepy. It's really good stuff. Mm-hmm. They don't have the Doctor Who set out yet, so you can't go in and play as the Doctor yet, but that's going to happen. It's going to be good.
So that'll
hope
be...
I get sick again so I can play.
So that'll be an extra thing that you have to purchase?
Yes, you have to component? Purchase it with money. Yeah. Okay. Oh, they get you coming. They get you going. Absolutely.
I guess that's good. I don't know. I have not...
Are you saying you don't like our capitalist system? Because if not, there's communists in my neighborhood who I think would... like to meet with you.
I think that's. I guess it's good that there's communists in your neighborhood.
Sure.
There's a problem with the proportional representative system. Is that communists could be in parliament if they get a percentage, a big enough percentage of
the vote.
That's
right.
I assume that if we did that, we would have a ceiling, some sort of limit of votes before you would be allowed to go into parliament.
It would be a very interesting. Yeah, it'd be interesting if something like that could happen.
We don't want to end up like the Knesset in Israel, where it's just a. There's 30 different parties all fighting each other over this
and
that.
I don't see that happening. Sorry.
You'd be surprised what opportunity, once you open a window, who wants to jump through it, you know?
Who does? Window jumpers?
Window jumpers.
Acrobats?
We could get the acrobat party.
Sure.
The window jumpers party.
Actually, you know what? If Cirque du Soleil really got their act together, they could run a pretty good party in Canada. And
why?
We've got enough of them.
Why would they run a pretty good party?
Why? Because they're entertaining.
I mean, they have a platform, but do they have an election platform?
They can jump off a platform and then they land on a seesaw and then the other guy flies up and down. He's on the platform.
I know they have physical objects, but do they have like a philosophical idea or a political idea?
Not using animals. That's one of their philosophies.
They have Cavalier, which uses horses.
Do they? Is that Cavalier? Oh, because one of their big things is like they don't use animals like other circuses.
They have horses and Cavaliers, so I guess that's...
Is that Cirque du Soleil?
Yep.
All right, we need to talk about that then. I just think like if you were in the House of Parliament, when it's like we recognize Cirque du Soleil, everyone would be like, whoa. And more people would go and like watch. Parliament. Then if Cirque du Soleil were there, and all of a sudden they did like something sexy or whatever, it was like that sexy show. Where all of a sudden they started doing the Beatles one. Great.
I would like to see the Beatles one, but I heard that the tickets are very expensive for those sort of shows. So
what you should do is tell them that you did a Beatles podcast, and they'll do it. That's
right. They'll let me in right away.
Well, you are press.
You guys, I did a Beatles. What's wrong?
What's happening behind you? I'm going to explain.
Okay, I can't see it.
There's
cheese in my way.
Across the street from us. I've been trying to figure out what's going on. Okay. And here's what's going on.
Are you looking through the bottom floor?
The second story.
Okay.
There's a big apartment.
Yes.
And someone has a projector, and they're projecting their computer screen on the wall.
Oh.
And they are projecting their computer screen on the wall, and they have a variety of their pictures from, it looks like, a vacation. They keep tapping on them. And so big vacation pictures start whipping up and filling this whole window.
Yeah.
And it's very distracting behind you. And occasionally movie clips will start playing. It looks like they're looking at like pictures of like cells. Like they're looking through a microscope is what it looks like right now.
Huh.
Very bizarre. Yeah, there's like hairs. They're looking at hairs and they're magnifying hairs. What's going on? Some kind of Dexter shit going on across there?
That's Fantastic Four across the street.
Oh, okay. That's fair enough then.
That makes sense now. The Baxter building is right across the street from me.
Nice. Folks, as we come to an hour.
I don't... Well, oops. I just want...
Oh, Dave's got more
to stop?
Say.
I wanted to...
We don't have to stop. Go ahead. Continue. I was gonna do a plug for a show of mine.
Plug away then.
All right, this is a plug. I'm doing James Bond Live, Chilliwack Cultural Center on November 8th. That's what I was trying to get to earlier when I said I was a little tired because I was doing a rehearsal. We're rehearsing that. We're doing a big comedy James Bond thing. If you're in Chilliwack around that time, come see it. It's gonna be a lot of fun.
If
Dave's in the show.
Chilliwack.
We may kill Dave in the show. All right, continue.
For reals?
For reals. Well, it's only one show. We can kill you.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I was going to talk a little bit about music because
Please.
I just got a CD that I wanted for quite a while. So I'm really, really excited.
What is it?
But what's weird, what's funny about it is I was just reading in Mojo magazine, they did a big article about, well, you know, in England, they had the punk rock scene. So, yes. You know, Sex Pistols and The Clash and whatnot. And then after that, in the aftermath of that, once that kind of died down, they had this kind of scene called post-punk, which was like Joy Division and all kinds of bands that kind of fell into that Orange Juice. And, you know, just you name the band from that time period, they're kind of a post-punk band, right. Whether they're poppy or funky or whatever, like all these kind of very various different sort of
now, were
things
you,
started.
Were you into this music at the time the music was originally coming out?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, very much so.
About what year did you really get into music, would you say?
I think I was into music from the very beginning. Like when I was a little kid, I loved music a lot. Mm-hmm. And I would listen to, my parents had this 5-record set. I think it was given to them with their stereo. They had a big cabinet stereo that you had to warm up to listen to. And it came with this box. I had marching band music. Mm-hmm. So it had like the Colonel Bogey's March, which was the Monty Python theme. So you can imagine how surprised I was when I discovered that. And it had some children's songs on it, including the most terrifying version of Old MacDonald Had a Farm ever made. I think I've talked about that. But it just had this turkey sound in it that was so scary.
I don't think you've ever... Okay, well, listen, we got Halloween coming up. Yeah. So what I'm going to ask you to do is, if you can find it online, put a clip of this as the terrifying... Because we're looking right now for Halloween music to play while kids come over. So I would go with this terrifying turkey.
It was scary. It was like a real... It wasn't people going gobble, gobble, gobble.
Yeah.
It was like a turkey sound.
I want to hear it.
There's like that, right?
Yeah, gotcha.
And you're just like, oh.
I'm already scared.
And in my mind, I was like, there's a turkey climbing up the side of the house.
Sure.
And he's going to like come in through the window while I'm listening to this song because it's so scary sounding.
Yeah, it's a paranormal turkey activity.
Paranormal turkey. But then my dad also played us like jazz records and I really like those. And then even though I think he kind of shot himself in the foot because he's like, I'll play my kids this music. And then he's like, wait, my kids are listening to this music and they're wrecking my records. But I love them so much, I would listen to his Dave Brubeck records and whatnot. And then, and then they would buy me like the K-Tel collections of that time period, you know, because, you know, it had the Captain and Tennille on it or whatever, and You Beat Me to the Punch, and remember Charity Brown, everybody? And just all kinds of stuff like that, right? You know, the big collections of all the songs.
Stars on 45.
And not only did I develop likings for music, I developed hatings for music from the same time, like, so, because that had like the song Wildfire on it, and I just hated that song so much. I hate it to this day. And there's a song about a run. It was some boy running away from the girlfriend's angry father, you know, and it was terrible. So terrible. But, you know, and I knew it as like a grade 4 kid, you know, sure. Saying, this song is terrible. You know, so, you know, right away I loved music, you know, so, and if I heard something that I liked, then I really wanted to explore it too. And I remember in grade 7, it was really kind of a watershed New Year's Eve night. My brothers and I were at home. My parents were gone. We were just watching television and they had this late night show, and I don't even know why it was on, but it was full of like early music promos. There weren't even like videos at that time, and so it had like Jean-Michel Jarre's Oxygen. They had like this long filmed version of the song. It seemed to go on forever, but then they also had like XTC, This Is Pop.
Oh, okay.
And We're Only making Plans for Nigel, and like I fell in love with it. It was right away. I was like, oh, this is like so good. Like I, you know, and so I became really obsessed with XTC at that time, and I, you know, I still have the 45s I bought at that time period. So, you know, I was a real kind of like music nut. And so, yeah, it just kind of carried on. And what was interesting is I had a cousin who, I remember reading about punk rock around grade 8, and it seemed kind of scary because I was reading it from a newspaper, weekend magazine. You know, it's kind of like, what's happening in England? These kids are, you know, and so you read about it, you're like, oh, this sounds scary. All these kids are like mean and they're speeding and oh, this sounds terrible.
They're
but kind of
paper, what is it, safety pins?
Safety pins, yeah.
Yeah, through their skin.
And what was funny was I was taking a class in cartooning, like a night class in cartooning, and the teacher had a safety pin in her ear. But another every other way, she looked like just like a regular hippie kind of person who would be running a night class at that time. So I asked her, I said, do you like punk rock? She's like, oh no, I don't have any earrings and I didn't want my piercing to close.
So quick take a break and take a drink. And what are you guessing this time, Dave?
It's the police car.
Let's take a look. Dave says it's the police car.
It's going the other direction.
And it was the Ghostbusters. Sorry, everybody. Go ahead. So she was not a punk rocker.
She was not a punk rocker. But I was still so fascinated by the idea of punk rock. So
it's also nice in case like some kid's pants fall off and then she's got a safety pin to like...
Right away.
Right.
Because it's so commonly happens during cartooning classes. The kid's pants are just some, without warning, dropping. Look out. Because, you know, comedy.
Yeah, slapstick. You like that. You've established that you enjoy slapstick.
I do love a little slapstick. Although, does pants falling down count? I guess it does.
Yes.
If you fall down after your pants fall down, you all have to be, they have to fall down while you're running. And oh, you're just loving what's happening behind me.
Sure.
And so then.
So weird. Anyway, go ahead.
So, yeah. So, you know, and then post-punk was kind of right in my teenage wheelhouse, you know, so that, you know, there's lots of really great at that time period. But what was interesting about this article in Mojo was it wasn't British post-punk, which everyone talks about all the time, Gang of Four and all that stuff, blah, blah, blah. But this was like American post-punk. So coming out of the thrash scene. So like when Black Flag started, stopped playing like thrash and started playing more like Black Sabbath. Mm-hmm. And then everyone was like, wait, you can do that? You can play like and sound like a 70s band? What the hell? And so like all this stuff started happening. And so... yeah, well, that was a really interesting time period. So, you know, I was reading about this and, you know, I have a bunch of the records, but so it's fun to read about, like the Minutemen, Double Nickels on the Dime, which is like a great album or a great double album, right. And Husker Du's New Day Rising and Zen Arcade. And then they're talking about the Meat Puppets, their second album, which was brilliantly called Meat Puppets 2. Their first album was unlistenable to me because it was just thrash punk, which I don't really enjoy very much because it's very, you know, bland. It's just... I know that sounds weird to say thrash is bland, but this is one sound spread over a record, right? Boring. The second album, it had a little bit of that, but then it also had this really weird kind of country punk stuff played, you know, with strummed guitars and also fingerpick guitars and these really weird psychedelic songs. And I really liked that. And then their next album was called Up on the Sun. And that was like, wow, that was a great album, which I never owned. My friend, former friend of the show, Rob Rebsell, had it. And those were the days when you didn't buy every record because if you had a friend who had it, well, you could borrow his record. And so I would listen to his record. And then, of course, over time when we didn't, our record collections weren't so close to each other, I haven't had it for a long time. So I found it today on CD. So I was very, very happy. This seemed weird because I was just reading about it. And I was like, oh, wish I could find that record again because that was a good record.
And you were at Zulu today?
I was at Zulu today and because I had to waste a little time before because I knew you were doing the rehearsal. I didn't want to come in, hello, everybody. So I just went there and found that. So I was really excited.
Well, I'm glad to hear it.
Listened to it on the way over. It held up. It held up for my grade 12 listening experience.
Are you going to listen to it on the way home?
Yes.
All right.
Because I want to relive those great days of grade 12.
Now, when you had your
friend... was an exciting time, right? Like, there was Butthole Surfers.
Sure.
And the great album, Locust Abortion Technicians, which I know sounds weird, but it was a great album. And, like I say, the Husker Du and stuff. Like, it was a really exciting time period because everyone was kind of... It's the same in England. You know, punk started very freeing. Then it formalized and it became very, you know, stratified and everyone had to wear a uniform and music had to sound like this and be, you know, da da da. And same in American thrash scene was the same way. Everyone sounded the same. You know, everyone liked Minor Threat and everyone wanted to sound like Minor Threat. And then, you know, Black Flag. And then someone said, wait a second, or Black Flag said it. We don't have to do that anymore. Let's expand. Let's slow down. Let's riff it up, you know. And so everyone kind of ran with that into this new sound. And it was just a really exciting time period. I'm sorry you missed it if you weren't there for it, everybody.
There you go. But it's all still available.
It's, I hope so.
On album and CD and possibly cassette.
Probably available on iTunes.
Or borrow it from Dave because he's got it.
Give me a call. I can
just hold up to the phone.
I can dub a cassette for you.
Listen, let me just tell you, Dave will answer his landline.
I'll make a mix.
He will just lay the phone down and you'll just like play it and play it right into the phone.
Mail me a CD. I'll make you a mixtape.
Wow. What an offer. Are you serious on that?
I would do that.
Okay. Listen, that's a big offer.
No. I'll do it right away.
Okay.
No problem.
So how do people mail stuff to us?
Well, that's a good question. Do we have a post office box? We'll post it on the website if we have a post office box.
Okay.
I don't have a post office box, but if you do.
I do have a post office box. We'll all right. We'll do that. So, all right. This is Dave's offer. We're going to wrap up today by saying this. By the way, if anyone hears Oda's shirt, you'll be getting your shirt shortly. Dave's offer is, now, do they need to send a self-addressed envelope or any
No, just send the CD and I'll mail it back to you.
Okay. Yeah. Often, if you're sending it from the States, you're like, I'm going to do that. But then, of course, we can't send it from Canada because it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
All right. So.
Send me a CD.
They send you a CD.
Yeah.
If they send you a cassette, will you do it?
I don't have a cassette deck right now. I have two cassette decks and both of them are on the fritz. So
if they send you a cassette deck, Yeah. Will you do it on the cassette?
Yes, I'll do it on the cassette.
All right. If you send Dave a cassette deck.
That seems a little extreme.
He will record you a cassette. He will give you an actual mixtape.
But I won't send the cassette deck back. So.
Okay. But send Dave a CD.
Yeah.
He will send you a mixtape. Now, should they tell you anything about their taste, or are you just doing this omakase?
You're just going to get what you get.
Omakase. All right. Yeah. So that's the way it's going to be.
Yeah. What is that? What do you say it was?
Omakase.
What's that?
Omakase is you go to a Japanese restaurant and you go, like omakase, it's basically you say to the chef, I'm in your hands.
Oh, okay.
And then the chef prepares you something he thinks that you will like.
Okay.
Or she. They can be, no, they can't be. I've never seen a female sushi chef in my life. But in theory, they could exist.
Yeah.
So let's just hope the sexism in the sushi industry comes to an end under Justin Trudeau.
Yes. Well, there are, 88?
Yeah.
88 female MPs and 10 Aboriginal MPs under the new system.
Yes, it's a very, very good...
Boy, I seem to know all these weird numbers.
I know, Johnny numbers. Holy cow.
They're right. Sticking in my mind.
So, listen, we'd love to hear from you, any of your opinions about the show. Our last show, we got nothing on our webpage. No response.
Everybody hated it.
No, I think we got it right. It was the first show we got perfect.
Oh, okay.
So there's nothing to comment on. There's no need to comment on anything because we got it exactly right.
My daughter complained about it.
She did?
Yeah. Said it was too short.
Oh, well, she should have complained online about it. But since she didn't, it doesn't count.
Yeah, sorry.
So anyway, sneakydragon.com is our website. Our message boards are there. We're also on Facebook, on Sneaky Dragon. We're on Twitter, sneaky_dragon. And you can reach us by email at sneakyd@sneakydragon.com. That's sneakyd@sneakydragon.com. If you're thinking of hacking our website, don't do dirty things when you do that. Some people have been trying to hack in, and they've been hacking in using rude search terms.
Yeah.
Come on. If you gotta hack us, be cool.
Yeah.
You know, be the guys from Sneakers. Don't be the guys from Stinkers. Which wasn't.
I don't know. Is it nice to try and hack our website anyway? Whether these nice terms are. But if they're using...
Let's tell you this. If you're trying to hack our website, what are you looking for?
I mean, really.
What do you want? Yeah. Look, Dave's going to make you a mixtape for
happened
free.
To us. It's happened to us once.
Mm-hmm.
We've had our site hacked.
Yeah.
And it just made it so that it's sent people to a gambling site.
Yeah. Don't.
You don't want that.
Don't worry about it.
No one wants to go there.
That's not our people. You're not getting more gamblers.
Well, what's weird about that is the idea that people are looking for our site.
Yep.
Then they accidentally get sent to a gambling site. They're going to be like, oh... Gambling site. Oh, I'll give them my credit card information and do some gambling.
Well, they think like, what are the odds of this happening? Oh, wait, speaking of odds, I think I'll do some gambling. But listen, you're 100% sure to get a CD from Dave if you send him a blank CD. So that's what you're going to do. We'll go to our website. We will put up the post office box. Also do that probably on our Facebook page. So please, send Dave that and he will spend a lot of time.
Actually, if you want to say what music you like, that's fine. I can.
Or just say omakase.
Omakase.
Yeah.
That's you sure it's omakase?
Sure. If you want to be racist about it, sure.
Is that racist?
Yeah.
Why is that racist?
I don't know. Because you're saying it in a thick Japanese accent.
I did not say it in a thick Japanese accent. I just said it quickly.
Let's play it back. And racist. So, David, I believe you. Oh, by the way, this is our 203rd episode, right?
Uh-huh.
That, by the way, is my lucky number. 203.
203?
Yep, that has always been my lucky number for the last, like,
why?
25 years.
Why would 203 be your lucky
number?
It's
reoccurred in, I've had a couple of apartments that have been 203. Okay. It's just come up. It's come up. Businesses that I've worked for, it's been 203. It's been 203. Yeah. It's one of those numbers that I just see reoccur over and over again in my life.
A glitch in the matrix.
Yep.
It's interesting because most people's lucky number is like, you know, 6 or 4 or something. 203. But you are a 203.
Yep, 203.
Okay.
Letting you know that. So if you ever want to send me amount of money, $203 is good. So what you should do is send me $203, send David a CD, and you will get a CD back. It's unrelated.
seems a little weighted in someone's favor.
Yeah, I've got to now look through this window and see what the neighbors are watching. It's just fascinating.
We'll let Ian do that, and we'll say to everybody who's listening to the show today,
toodly-doo.
Thank you for listening, and goodbye.
All right.